Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church. George MacDonald once wrote, "Everything difficult indicates something more than our theory of life yet embraces." I think that captures David's vexation when he penned Psalm 39. Listen, Psalm 39. I said, "I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked." So I remained utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush around, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools." I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. "Remove your scourge from me. I'm overcome by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me, that I may enjoy life again before I depart and am no more." Friends, what a shocking ending. I mean, how did this make it into God's inspired songbook? Is it right to pray to God that He turn His face away so we can smile again and die in peace? Well, it's in the Bible. And this psalm begs many questions, and I believe it allows us a few reflections. If you noticed, it began with a commitment to be silent, which only led David to become a volcano, after which he goes to God with a request. And then we find the same pattern repeated in verses 9 to 13. Have you ever zipped the lip when around certain folks, knowing that anything you said could and would be used wrongly? Perhaps at work or school or even with family. You bit down on your tongue for the sake of God, despite all the angst and pain. But the more you reflected on the situation, the more heated you became. You ever felt like David? The fire burning within as you consider the situation? But David does well. He addresses God. And we see he brings his dilemma before God. He sees just how short his life is. Multiple times he speaks of the brevity of life, my life's end, the number of my days, how fleeting my life is. You ever visit a graveyard? See all the headstones? Knowing that 6 feet down are just innumerable people who came before you? That's why David cries out, "Show me my end, God, so I can maybe figure out life's meaning and my purpose. Our lives are but a handbreadth." This is one of the smallest units of measure for the Hebrews. David says, "God, your gift of life is but a few inches long, but I feel eternity in my heart." When David looks around at everyone, and nobody seems to realize this. They're buying new toys. They're checking the stocks. They're celebrating their likes on their new status on social media. David says, "God, they're so busy in their accomplishments, gaining wealth, seeking control. But after death snatches them, and it's right behind them, they have no control. And nothing they had goes with them. What a waste. Yet another fragile phantom comes and then snatches up what they had." So David says, "Oh God, I'm learning and I look to you for hope in all this. I confess to you that I am a sinner I'm suffering from the consequences of my folly. Please don't let my name become mud after I'm gone. And again, David decides silence. He says, I'll keep my mouth shut. After all, this is your doing, God. But David can't be silent. He says, God, please stop slapping me around. Divine discipline seems so harsh, especially to all these frail fools who live to gather up all that you're going to consume. Oh, another breath, another soul gone. And David cries out, please, God, don't be deaf to me. Please hear me. Listen to me. And then David concludes by saying, okay, I get it. I'm just like Abraham, like Moses, like all who served you before me, and they're all gone, long gone. So God, just look away from my sorry self, and maybe I'll be able to crack a smile before I fade away. And that is the end. Friends, how should we think about this? Well, a few reflections. We may wonder why some of us feel God's discipline throughout our lives and all the futility. And yes, in the moment it is painful, but friend, it shows you that you're a legitimate son, a legitimate child that your Father loves. In fact, He loves you too much. He loves us too much to let us find our ultimate joy on the good things of this earth. You see, our eternal God wants our eternal souls to hope solely in Him, because He alone is the only thing in this life we can have who will not let us down in the end. And lastly, this final cry of David that God let him be, I find it to be, in fact, an encouragement. You recall Peter once said something similar to Jesus. Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And we know that wonderfully, Jesus did not agree to Peter's prayer. And that is how we can understand the final part of Psalm 39. Derek Kidner writes, "The very presence of such prayers in Scripture is a witness to His understanding, to God's understanding. He knows how men speak when they are desperate." My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.